and the listeners who support this NPR station.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from Pines Garden and Market, now offering landscape design and installation services featuring locally grown plants, trees, and shrubs. Open 7 days a week in North Lawrence. Details at pinesgardenmarket.com/KPR.
A strong thunderstorm moving through western Miami County through 6:15 this evening. That includes Paola and Osawatomie. Be on the lookout for gusty winds and penny-sized hail. It's 6:06.
It's All Things Considered from
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 in Lawrence, 91.3 FM in Junction City, always online at kansaspublicradio.org. Thanks so much for making room in your Friday evening for us here at KPR. In our next 30 minutes, we will have an update of news headlines. That's actually happening at 6:30. 6:36, we're going to talk about the changes to battlefield medicine in the age of drone warfare. At 6:45, we'll tell you what exactly went wrong with the Blue Origin rocket. Engineers there trying to figure it out themselves. The New Glenn rocket exploded on its launch pad last night. This is never good, but especially not good for Blue Origin, this is Jeff Bezos' company, because they're supposed to be sending up a satellite here in the next couple of days. We'll see if that happens. It's all coming up on KPR.
Support for KPR comes from Nuvant House of Lawrence, offering care services to assist living, including day-stay, short-term, and long-term options. Information at NuvantHouse.com.
Mostly cloudy skies tonight, a chance of showers and storms, 60% chance of rain after midnight. Very humid tonight, lows in the lower 60s. Humid again tomorrow with a 50% chance of showers and storms and highs in the mid-80s.
As a KPR listener, you can leave an inspired and lasting gift to our community by making a gift through your will. For more information, talk with your legal or financial advisor or email us at membership@kansaspublicradio.org.
79 degrees in Lawrence, 82 in Manhattan. The time is 6:20. You're listening to Kansas Public Radio.
Nairobi.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
Author Ada Ferrer's mother made an impossible decision. She left her older son in Cuba when she fled to the U.S. with baby Ada.
That moment represented like a kind of original sin.
Join me, Adrian Florido, as I talk with Ferrer about her new memoir, Keeper of My Kin, here on All Things Considered.
Join us tomorrow, beginning at 4 in the afternoon, 4 p.m. You will hear Weekend All Things Considered on KPR.
Support for KPR comes from KU's School of Professional Studies in Overland Park, home to master's and undergraduate degree programs. Options include fully online, in-person, and hybrid. More at sps.ku.edu.
Coming up, we have news headlines, but first I have some weather to tell you about. A strong thunderstorm affecting portions of Lyon County through 6:45 tonight. Not quite a severe storm, but still pretty strong. Wind gusts up to 40 miles per hour, half-inch hail. This will be near Madison, which is down in Greenwood County, so there toward the Greenwood and Lyon County lines. We also have a strong thunderstorm moving through portions of southern Miami and north central Linn counties, also through 6:45 tonight. This includes Paola, Osawatomie, Fontana, New Lancaster, and Beagle. 40-mile-an-hour winds and penny-sized hail. The news is next.
Live from NPR News in Washington.
SF tax refunds. The issue here, though, is that even if the war ends, gas prices will take a while to return to levels from before the U.S. and Israel attacked Iran. So the inflation risks to the U.S. economy are far from over. Rafael Nam, NPR News.
And on Wall Street at the close, the Dow was up 363 points, Nasdaq up 55. You're listening to NPR News.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. Republican Secretary of State Scott Schwab is the latest candidate to name a running mate in the crowded race for governor. He's trying to round out his ticket by picking a rural state lawmaker. Stephen Caranda reports.
Schwab is from the Johnson County suburbs, and in contrast to that, he picked Republican State Representative Ken Rogers as his running mate. Schwab says it's because of his expertise in agriculture and rural issues. Rogers is from north central Kansas and is currently the chair of the House Agriculture Committee, meaning he's one of the most powerful state lawmakers handling those issues. He's also worked on legislation aimed at reducing other rural challenges, like a lack of attorneys. The filing deadline is Monday, so more candidates will likely be finalizing their tickets. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Stephen Caranda in Lawrence.
Thousands of Kansas families have lost their food assistance after new federal requirements for the programs went into effect. Roger Nomer has that story.
A study from the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities found more than 21,000 Kansans have lost access to SNAP because of cuts to the program and tighter work requirements added to federal law. Advocacy groups are especially concerned because more than 10,000 of those are children. Losing SNAP means it's tougher for them to access programs like free school meals. Elizabeth Kiever is the chief resource officer with Harvesters, a regional food bank. She says food insecurity has an impact on education and long-term health.
Unfortunately, right now, with the implementation of HR 1, we've seen a dimming on the futures of so many kids right now.
Harvesters is asking legislators to put food assistance support into the upcoming federal farm bill. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Roger Nomer in Wichita.
The Kansas Department of Wildlife and Parks is now recruiting volunteers to help count and track bumblebees. This is the fifth year of the Great Plains Bumblebee Atlas. It's an effort to protect bumblebees. The Bumblebee Atlas is a community science project training volunteers to survey and document bumblebees and their habitats across the Great Plains. If you'd like to get involved, you'll find a link to the Atlas and some volunteering opportunities in the KPR News headlines at the website, kansaspublicradio.org. You are listening to Kansas Public Radio.
Back on Earth, the U.S. Space Force says potential hazardous debris from the explosion would likely wash up on public beaches. That has some residents of nearby Merritt Island concerned over the potential environmental impact of the accident. Take Lisa Ruckman.
It's not common knowledge anyway what sort of chemicals are on board, so you don't really know the effects of how it might affect human health or plant or wildlife health.
Blue Origin is also asking people to reach out if they see anything. And in the coming days and weeks, the company will start to piece together what happened to cause the explosion in the first place. For NPR News, I'm Brendan Byrne in Orlando.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
At NPR's Morning Edition, we talk with newsmakers.
Let's hear now from Senator Alex Padilla of California.
Cultural icons.
That is Billy Idol. The new documentary is called Billy Idol Should Be Dead. It'll be streaming.
And people living the news.
Robert Echevarria is one of the more than 500 TSA officers who quit during the partial government shutdown.
All perspectives on what's happening every weekday from NPR News.
Join us Monday through Friday, 5 to 9 a.m. on your KPR stations for Morning Edition on Monday. Matthew Algio will be your local host.
This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on Kansas Trails Incorporated, supporting, coordinating, and elevating Kansas trails as key assets for outdoor recreation, community health, tourism, and rural vitality. Details at kstrails.org.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 in Lawrence. Also at 99.5 in Manhattan, lots of other frequencies too. You will find a listing of them at our website, kansaspublicradio.org, where you can go ahead and stream KPR 1 and KPR 2 programs.
Join us for KPR 105 Live from the Dole Institute. Food trucks at 11:30 and a concert featuring Alexa Dawson at 1 p.m. Thursday, June 4th. Live from the Dole Institute. More at doleinstitute.org.
Mostly cloudy skies tonight. A chance of showers and storms. We're seeing them crop up. They get fairly strong and then sort of dissipate. The special weather statements that we had in effect for Lynn, Miami, and Lyon counties have all been allowed to expire. Just keep one eye open. 60% chance of showers after midnight. Very humid tonight with lows in the lower 60s. Very humid tomorrow. 50% chance of showers and storms with a high in the mid-80s. You're listening to KPR at 10 minutes before 7.
Things Considered from NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from this station. And from Amazon Business, committed to smart business buying, where AI tools have the goal of optimizing the purchasing experience paired with delivery options, dedicated to empowering teams. More at AmazonBusiness.com. From the University of Maryland Libraries, committed to reimagining learning, advancing the public good, and empowering research that creates a better future for everyone. More at lib.umd.edu. And from Fidelity Investments, a dedicated advisor can help build a flexible wealth plan. Learn more at fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimums apply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. This is NPR.
We keep our questions on Morning Edition civil but direct.
But let's be real. How could your party still screw this up?
Cut to the chase with us every weekday from NPR News.
You'll hear Morning Edition from 5 to 9 a.m. on your KPR 1 and KPR 2 stations, Monday through Friday, 5 to 9 a.m. Join us. It's a great way to start off your day.
Support for KPR comes from the Lead Center, where ticket packages are available for 2026-27 events, including the New York Philharmonic String Quartet and a cappella group Chanticleer. Details at lead.ku.edu.
We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU, and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3, on the web at kansaspublicradio.org. You can also listen by telling your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from Peasley Tech in Lawrence, Kansas. The Peasley Promise offers debt-free career training for local high school students and low-income Douglas County residents. Details and donation information at peasleytech.org/peasleypromise.
Coming up next, news headlines, followed by Start 8, then 2 hours of film music. Film Music Friday, focusing on the golden age of Hollywood once again. Jeff Watson is your host. A strong thunderstorm will be moving through northwestern Franklin, far southwestern Douglas, and east central Osage counties through 7:15. Torrential rainfall coming down with this storm. Wind gusts up to 40 miles per hour and half-inch hails. Stay alert. Have ways to receive warnings overnight. This is KPR. It's 7:01.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. Former Attorney General Pam Bondi defended her handling of files related to convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein in a closed-door congressional hearing today. NPR's Ava Berger has more.
In a prepared opening statement, Bondi told the House Oversight Committee that she stands behind her work as Attorney General and the department's record under her leadership. She admitted there was redaction errors in the Epstein file release, but she also noted that the Epstein document review was overseen by her deputy, Todd Blanche. Outside the day's proceedings, a group of Epstein survivors demanded answers. One of them was Danny Bensky.
When do we get investigations? And who the hell are we protecting?
Bensky met Epstein when she was a young ballerina. She alleges he sexually abused her. There are 6 more interviews scheduled for the committee, including Bill Gates. Ava Berger, NPR News, The Capitol.
Louisiana lawmakers have approved a new Republican-friendly congressional map. Brooke Thorington of member station WRKF reports the state's primaries were delayed to allow for redistricting.
Republican lawmakers raced to eliminate one of 2 majority black seats after the U.S. Supreme Court ruled the old map unconstitutional. That decision further weakened a central part of the Voting Rights Act. Democratic State Senator Royce Duplessis expressed his frustration with the process and a map that dilutes the black vote.
This is a vicious, vicious race to the bottom. And I believe that SB 121, even after these amendments, only accelerates that race to the bottom for us as a country.
Republican Louisiana Governor Jeff Landry has signed the bill into law. The legislative session ends on Monday. For NPR News, I'm Brooke Thorington in Baton Rouge.
The Justice Department is suing four Democratic-led states for refusing to provide ICE agents with confidential license plates. NPR's Jacqueline Diaz has more.
Confidential license plates are generally given to law enforcement for undercover work. The DOJ says in its lawsuit that these plates are crucial to officer safety and law enforcement work. But Massachusetts, Washington, Oregon, and Maine stopped issuing these plates to ICE agents. The DOJ claims this is discrimination. In states like Massachusetts, it was decided these license plates should only be granted for criminal investigative work. And Governor Maura Healey said that is not what ICE is doing, and that the state will not help ICE agents operate in secret. Jacqueline Diaz, NPR News.
A federal judge has ordered President Trump's name to be removed from the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C., saying the institution can't be named for anyone besides John F. Kennedy unless Congress says so. The judge also halted Trump's planned two-year closure of the center. In response, Trump said he's backing away from his proposed renovation and returning control of the center to Congress. You're listening to NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from the Charles Stewart Mott Foundation, celebrating a century of supporting efforts to promote a just, equitable, and sustainable society. More at mott.org/100. From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio.
Stardate, May 29th. For most American sky watchers, the star Capella is just peeking into view in the morning twilight. It's bright, but it's quite low as the sky brightens. You need precise timing and a clear north-northeastern horizon to spot it. A star's first appearance is called the heliacal rising, a term that means with the sun. It takes place at the same time every year, as the sun completes a full circuit through the background of stars. In many ancient cultures, the heliacal rising of certain stars was crucial. The best example is Sirius, the brightest star in the night sky. In Egypt, it first appeared just before the annual flooding of the Nile, the most important event of the year. So the star's return marked the start of a new year. Several cultures looked for the Pleiades star cluster. Its appearance marked a time to plant crops or to gather them, depending on a culture's location. Capella might have been important to the Zapotec, who lived in present-day Mexico. A half a century ago, researchers proposed that a building in the city of Monte Alban was intentionally aligned at a right angle to Capella's rising point. The star first appeared there at the time the sun passed directly overhead at noon, a key date in the calendar, but later work disputed that finding. Capella isn't nearly as important in modern times, but it reminds us that the stars once held great power over much of everyday life. We have more sky watching tips and much more about our amazing universe in Stardate magazine. Details at stardate.org. For the McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
Beginning tonight with the City of Prague Philharmonic Orchestra, conducted by Paul Bateman, and from Bernard Herrmann, the overture to Citizen Kane, here on Kansas Public Radio. Welcome to Film Music Friday. I'm Jeb Watson, glad to be back with you on a Friday evening, and tonight we're going to bring you the magic of Hollywood's Golden Age. Tonight we've got adventure, romance, and intrigue from the likes of Elmer Bernstein, Max Steiner, and later from Eric Wolfgang Korngold, some exciting stuff from The Adventures of Robin Hood. So let's settle back as the curtain rises on another program. Next, we're in the company of Franz Waxman, a composer born in Germany in 1906. A young Jewish kid, he left Germany in the early 1930s while the getting was good, and would follow a road that would take him all the way to Hollywood, where he would swiftly rise to the head of music at Universal Studios, putting to use everything he'd learned at the Dresden Music Academy. Here is some of his previously unrecorded music from a picture he did in 1954 with Robert Wagner, Janet Leigh, and James Mason, set in the days of Camelot and King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table. Here's music from Prince Valiant with the National Philharmonic Orchestra led by Charles Gerhardt tonight on Film Music Friday. Some previously unrecorded music by composer Franz Waxman from the 1954 Camelot movie Prince Valiant, performance by the National Philharmonic Orchestra, conducted there by Charles Gerhardt here on Kansas Public Radio during Film Music Friday. And not too long from now, just under 10 minutes, we've got music of a much similar vibe when we bring you the epitome of adventure in old-school Hollywood, Errol Flynn, and music by Eric Wolfgang Korngold for the 1938 epic The Adventures of Robin Hood, still to come on Kansas Public Radio. What we have for you next comes from Elmer Bernstein, one of the luminaries of old-school Hollywood, although it might not entirely be fair to call him old-school. He had a very long career that started in the 1950s and lasted all the way until the early 2000s with a very impressive resume of films that included The Ten Commandments, The Magnificent Seven, and much later comedy pictures like Stripes, Ghostbusters, and The Three Amigos. But perhaps the most unforgettable thing that he wrote came in 1962. When he presented us a picture of childhood innocence set against the backdrop of the harsh racial realities of the American South. Next on Film Music Friday, a suite from To Kill a Mockingbird. The Royal Philharmonic Pops Orchestra with Bernstein conducting next on KPR.
Thank you.
the Royal Philharmonic Pops Orchestra, conducted by Elmer Bernstein, and music from his emotional, powerful, and unforgettable score from 1962, from To Kill a Mockingbird, here on Kansas Public Radio. Support for Film Music Friday on KPR comes from the Douglas County Master Gardeners Native Plant Sale, Saturday, May 30th, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Douglas County Fairgrounds. Over 10,000 plants native to this area and grown locally. Details at dgemgks.org. And Kansas Tree Care, local arborists who provide professional tree care in the greater Lawrence area and who can be reached at kansastreecare.com or at 785-843-TREE. Time now to bring you some more adventure. In the days of the silent picture, no one embodied the spirit of adventure more than actor Douglas Fairbanks. But fast forward to the 1930s, and that mantle had been inherited by Errol Flynn, who did a ton of adventure pictures, many of which had music by Eric Wolfgang Korngold, as we've heard of before on this program, from films like Captain Blood. But there was no movie that showed what Errol Flynn was all about probably more than The Adventures of Robin Hood from 1938. We'll listen to a little music from that picture next with the East of England Orchestra, conducted by Malcolm Navarro on Kansas Public Radio. East of England Orchestra, conducted by Malcolm Nabarro, with a suite from The Adventures of Robin Hood from 1938, starring Errol Flynn, with music by Eric Wolfgang Korngold, two men who, in their own way, made a profound mark in the days of the golden age of Hollywood here on Kansas Public Radio. In about 10 minutes, we'll have the news from NPR, still much more from the world of old-school Hollywood still to come. Support for Film Music Friday on KPR comes from the University of Kansas, creating the future one discovery at a time. Information about KU programs and research is at ku.edu. Well, I think there's nothing else that epitomizes the world of old-school Hollywood quite so well as what I'm going to play for you next. It's another go-around with the National Philharmonic Orchestra with conductor Charles Gerhardt, with music from the picture where Humphrey Bogart was at his best. We have music from Max Steiner from Casablanca, next on KPR. from Max Steiner, a suite from Casablanca, with the National Philharmonic Orchestra led by Charles Gerhardt here on Kansas Public Radio. We'll take a short pause for the news from NPR, and then it's back with more old-school Hollywood magic, with music from Dmitri Tiomkin, Miklos Rocha, Jerome Maras, and much more still to come on Film Music Friday. Kansas Public Radio is KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, KANQ Chanute, online at kansaspublicradio.org, or tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio. Support for news on KPR comes from Pines Garden and Market, offering locally grown vegetable starts, cool season flowers, seeds, and growing supplies. Open daily in North Lawrence. More at pinesgardenmarket.com/KPR. And the Smoky Hill River Festival, June 11th through 14th at Oakdale Park in Salina. Celebrating 50 years of art, food, and music for all ages. Details online at riverfestival.com. You're listening to Kansas Public Radio.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. A federal judge has reopened President Trump's lawsuit against the IRS over a 2019 leak of his tax returns. The president last week dropped that suit and in favor of a settlement that, among other things, created a fund to compensate individuals he argues were wrongly targeted by a weaponized judicial system. NPR's Elena Moore reports.
Trump sued the IRS for $10 billion back in February. Then, earlier this month, after the federal judge overseeing the case questioned its merits, he dropped it. Instead, the administration announced a settlement in which the Justice Department would start a, quote, anti-weaponization fund of nearly $1.8 billion, sparking concerns from Democratic lawmakers and others that payments could be awarded to January 6th defendants. The terms drew scrutiny from a bipartisan group of 35 former judges. And now, in a major setback for Trump, the federal judge has reopened the case, giving Trump's attorneys until June 12th to file a written response to claims that the dismissal was, quote, premised on deception. Elena Moore, NPR News.
Homelessness dropped slightly in the last year of the Biden administration, the first national decline in nearly a decade. NPR's Jennifer Ludden reports on the latest federal count.
This annual count was taken way back in January 2025. The federal housing agency HUD released the report months later than usual. It found the number of people sleeping outside or in shelters was down more than 3% to about 745,000, a bit fewer than a record high the year before. In a statement, the National Alliance to End Homelessness says that decline proved that programs to get people into permanent housing do work. The Trump administration has criticized that approach and wants a major shift toward transitional housing and forced treatment. Local providers worry that could push many people back onto the streets. Jennifer Ludden, NPR News, Washington.
Six families of transgender youth who received care at Stanford Children's Hospital have filed a lawsuit. They're asking a federal judge to stop the hospital from turning over private health information to the Trump administration. NPR's Selena Simmons-Duffin reports.
The Trump administration's stated goal is to end gender-affirming care for youth nationally. The latest effort to that end came when the Justice Department sought criminal subpoenas from a federal judge in Texas, asking for years of full patient files from hospitals all over the country. NYU Langone made the subpoena it received public earlier this month. Six families who received care at Stanford say this effort violates their right to privacy, and that the government hasn't explained how they're planning to use the information or why they need to know patient identities. Attorneys representing the families say this is the first case challenging the Trump administration's use of criminal subpoenas to try and obtain transgender patient files. Selena Simmons-Duffin, NPR News.
Stock indexes closed higher on Wall Street today. This is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. RWJF is a national philanthropy working towards a future where health is no longer a privilege but a right. Learn more at rwjf.org. From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio. the intersection of three different forms of magic there, the magic of old-school filmmaking, of stop-motion animation, and of the music of Max Steiner, which all came together in 1933 to bring to life King Kong. We listen to the main title with the Cincinnati Pops Orchestra, led by Eric Kunzel, tonight on Film Music Friday. I'm Jeb Watson, glad to be back with you with more old-school Hollywood magic. Coming up, we've got music by Miklos Rocha, from Ben-Hur, from Dmitri Tiomkin, music from The Fall of the Roman Empire, that and much more on the way as we explore old-school Hollywood tonight on Kansas Public Radio. We'll keep things going with music written by Jerome Moras, who was an American composer who hailed from New York City, and in the 1930s, he made a couple of friends who would be pretty faithful to his life, Aaron Copland and Bernard Herrmann. He joined them in Hollywood, California, where he, like them, got to work making music for the moving pictures. And one of his great contributions was made in 1959 with the story of events of Bleeding Kansas in the days leading up to the Civil War. We'll listen to a suite from The Jayhawkers next with the City of Prague Philharmonic led by Paul Bateman on Film Music Friday. The City of Prague Philharmonic, led by Paul Bateman, and from American film composer Jerome Maras, music from The Jayhawkers from 1959 on Kansas Public Radio during Film Music Friday. Hope you're enjoying this evening's program of Old School Hollywood Magic. Still to come is work by Dmitri Tiomkin from The Fall of the Roman Empire. That and much more still to come. Support for Film Music Friday on KPR comes from the Watkins Museum of History, celebrating America's 250th anniversary with various museums and historic sites. Information about Finding Freedom, the Promise of 1776 in Douglas County, Kansas, at watkinsmuseum.org. And the Kansas Book Festival, announcing A Night for the History Books, Bill Curtis remembers. On the 60th anniversary of the Topeka tornado, Monday, June 8th at Washburn University in Topeka. Details at kansasbookfestival.com. Well, nothing quite says old-school Hollywood epic quite as much as what I'm going to play for you next. MGM's biblical epic, also from 1959 and was one of the more spectacular pictures that year. With Charlton Heston, we'll hear music from Ben-Hur, which had the music written by Hungarian composer Miklos Rocha, who, in order to write the score, did a lot of research into Greek and Roman music incorporated into his score, which, when finally completed, ran about 2.5 hours, which was, at the time, one of the longest film scores ever to accompany a motion picture. We'll hear not all 2 hours of it, but just a short bit now, from Ben-Hur. We'll stick with the City of Prague Philharmonic, Kenneth Alwyn conducting on KPR.
Thank you.
once again with the City of Prague Philharmonic, led by Kenneth Alwyn, and music from Ben-Hur by Miklos Rocha, tonight on Film Music Friday. From the University of Kansas, Kansas Public Radio, is 91.5 Lawrence, 99.5 Manhattan, online as well at kansaspublicradio.org. Thanks for being with us here on a Friday evening. You know, your donation is the power that keeps KPR independent, public-minded, and focused on you and your community. That's how we provide culture, information, and intelligent entertainment. KPR is everything that you make it, and so much more. If KPR matters to you, be aware that your support matters to KPR. Contribute now at kansaspublicradio.org. Thank you for your support. Well, we go from music about Rome to the fall of Rome. In fact, the title of the picture, The Fall of the Roman Empire, came in 1964. Emil Bronson and the music had meant to be composed by Miklos Rocha, but the two of them had a falling out, and the job fell to Russian composer Dmitry Tiomkin. Next on Film Music Friday, we'll hear Pax Romana from The Fall of the Roman Empire on Kansas Public Radio. Pax Romana from the fall of the Roman Empire, with music by Dmitry Tiomkin, tonight on Kansas Public Radio. Just about 20 minutes to go until the top of the hour and NPR News. Thanks for being with us tonight on Film Music Friday, where we have certainly been getting a lot of mileage out of recordings of the City of Prague Philharmonic Orchestra and their recordings of old-school Hollywood classics. The one that we'll listen to next comes from Bernard Herrmann and a Hitchcock thriller from 1958, one which saw James Stewart as a former San Francisco police detective who has retired after an incident in the line of duty caused him to develop an extreme fear of heights. The City of Prague and conductor Paul Bateman with a suite from Vertigo, next on KPR. One more go-around tonight with the City of Prague Philharmonic, led by Paul Bateman, and music by Bernard Herrmann from the film Vertigo on Film Music Friday. This hour, the way it began, with the music of Max Steiner and a short dance montage from Gone with the Wind with the National Philharmonic, conducted by Charles Gerhardt here on Kansas Public Radio. Just about time for NPR News, followed by jazz. I'm Jeff Watson. Thanks for joining me tonight for Film Music Friday on a program of old-school Hollywood magic. As with most topics, we just barely scratched the surface of the available music, but part of the fun is picking out what I think stands out the most. I'll have more for you next week at this same time. From the University of Kansas, we are Kansas Public Radio. KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia. KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City. KANQ Chanute. Online at kansaspublicradio.org. Or tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio. This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on Kansas Trails Incorporated, working with communities across the state to build and care for small-town paths to wide-open prairie routes, connecting Kansans to the land and each other. More information at kstrails.org. You're listening to KPR, and the news is next.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. President Trump held a White House Situation Room meeting today as he weighs moving forward with a deal to extend the Iran ceasefire and reopen the Strait of Hormuz. Iran says the agreement has not been finalized. As NPR's Greg Myrie reports, the current ceasefire has been fragile.
The U.S. and Iran have had back-and-forth attacks throughout the week. The U.S. said it shot down Iranian drones threatening U.S. ships. Iran fired a missile at a U.S. military base in Kuwait, which was shot down. So the current ceasefire has been in place for nearly 2 months now, and it's been mostly holding. But this week was a very strong example of how vulnerable the truce remains, especially if there's no diplomatic breakthrough.
NPR's Greg Myrie reporting. A court in Kenya has suspended a U.S. plan to establish a quarantine facility for Americans exposed to Ebola. The decision came after backlash from medical workers and activists. The U.S. intended to send people who had been exposed to Ebola to Kenya instead of flying them home. The High Court in Nairobi halted any agreements until petitions are heard next week. Former Attorney General Pam Bondi refused to answer questions on President Trump's involvement in the release of the Jeffrey Epstein case files. She defended the Trump administration's release of the files as lawmakers scrutinized a process that was delayed and included personal information of potential victims, as NPR's Ava Berger reports.
Bondi said a lot of the same stuff we've already heard from her in public hearings. Bondi said Todd Blanche oversaw the Epstein document review. He was the deputy attorney general at the time and took over the spot at the top spot at the Justice Department after Bondi left in April. Bondi also said that she stood behind her work as attorney general, saying she was, quote, proud of the department's record under her leadership.
NPR's Ava Berger reporting. Consumer debt reached its highest level on record in March, about $18.2 trillion, according to Equifax. NPR's Stephen Basaha reports more of that credit card debt is being held by lower-income families.
There is a K-shaped divide in this growing debt. That's a reference to how it graphs out when the rich are getting richer and the poor, if not getting poorer, certainly aren't doing as well. Emmeline Aleph is an advisor leader with Equifax and says while many families are coasting by, lower income families are increasingly relying on credit cards.
Not just for discretionary spending, but sometimes even as a lifeline to cover some of the basic expenses.
Overall, credit card debt jumped almost 4% in March from a year earlier, faster than the overall inflation rate of 3.3%. Most of the consumer debt comes from mortgages. The real estate data company Cotality recently reported that mortgage delinquencies were up year over year in March 3%. Stephen Basaha, NPR News.
U.S. stock indexes closed higher today, adding to the all-time highs they set yesterday. This is NPR News from Washington. Jeff Bezos' Blue Origin is assessing damage after a rocket exploded during a test firing yesterday. The company was trying to briefly ignite the engines of its new Glenn rocket ahead of a satellite launch next week, but the 321-foot rocket blew up, taking part of the pad with it. A 14-year-old made history at the 98th annual Scripps Spelling Bee last night in Washington, D.C. After 3 days of competition, an eighth grader from California took the crown, and he broke a record in a lightning round. NPR's Amy Held reports.
No time to repeat the word. In the end, speed helped set Shrey Parikh from the L.A. area above some 250 spellers from all 50 states.
Bromocryptine.
B-R-O-M-O-C-R-I-P-T-I-N-E.
Ty sent the 14-year-old into a lightning round.
Shrey, during the spell off, you correctly spelled a total of 32 words.
32 words in 90 seconds, that was 7 more than his competitor.
And that means that Shrey, you are the two-time.
Hours of daily practice, he says, helped make the spell off a no-brainer.
Spelling fast is what I do every day, so, you know, a spell off just kind of came naturally, and it was just like another day of spelling for me.
As an eighth grader, this was Shrey's last year of eligibility. With his free time and his retirement, he says he'll work on math and tennis competitions. Amy Held, NPR News, Washington.
Mexico's President Claudia Sheinbaum has given away her ticket to the World Cup opening match. The first female president in Mexico's history donated her ticket to Yolette Cervantes Cuauhqueua, a young indigenous woman from Veracruz. She was chosen for her ball handling skills in a contest. This is NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the William and Flora Hewlett Foundation, investing in creative thinkers and problem solvers who help people, communities, and the planet flourish. More information is available at Hewlett.org.
magisterial Sonny Rollins on tenor sax, his tune called Solid, and his 1954 recording session with Kenny Dorham on trumpet, Elma Hope, Percy Heath, and Art Blakey piano, bass, and drums. Take it from a fantastic 7-CD set, the complete prestige recordings of Sonny Rollins. Sonny died Monday at the age of 95, and what a great, great deal of music and love he brought to this world. In about 15 minutes, we'll hear a wonderful duo of pianist Kenny Barron, bassist Dave Holland. In this next set, we're going to hear from the brand new one from pianist Emmett Cohen. We're going to start the set off with guitarist Randy Johnston and his album called Homage, and he does a piece by guitarist Kenny Burrell called Liresto. We'll be right back.